in a series called Destined to Win. The title of today's message is The Law of Progression. The Law of Progression. This is part 7 in this series. We're going to start out, it's not actually in my message. It hasn't been in the messages the last few weeks, but it goes so well. This verse goes so well with this series that I've just been doing it every week. You can see it if I'll get out of the way. It's the wrong way. If I'll get out of the way, you can see it on the back. It'll be on your screen here in just a second. But let's all just say this together. It is Jeremiah 29:11. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And so I'm going to start, just jump in, and let's just say it all together. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Those are God's plans for you. Say that with me. Those are God's plans for me. For me to have hope and a future. Amen. So I want you to understand that God wants to bless you. And last week, Pastor David, brought a great message. It was only on Facebook because it had to be done from home. And so, you know, he just used his phone, and I'm always amazed at how those phones do and how well the video is and stuff. It's just, but anyway, it was good. And the title of the message was El Shaddai Will Handle It. And if you haven't watched that message, I want you to go back. It's only on Facebook. But I want you to go back and watch it. Now, it will be on Vimeo soon. If you don't have access to Facebook and you want to watch it. And the way you get to our Vimeo library, our current messages are on the website, calvarynewlife.cc. Then at the very bottom of the homepage, there's a link for Vimeo. And there's like 500 messages out there. So there is a ton of messages out there for you to go look at, based on subject or however you want to do that. But Pastor David's message will be out there because he talked about how Abraham did not follow what we're going to talk about today, which is the law of progression. He tried to rush things. He tried to hurry things because he didn't know God as El Shaddai. He knew God as just Elohim, or the creator of the universe. And so once he learned that God had different names and different aspects and different characters, I'm not going to get too much value about the message because I want you to go watch it. Then he got in line with what God wanted to do, and he was blessed because of it. So if you missed it, go watch it. So 2 weeks ago, I gave you a definition for success, and that was this. Obtaining everything that God has promised is yours, no matter how long it takes, and no matter what kind of obstacles you might face. Success does not mean you never have a problem. It means you know how to overcome them. There's no such thing as a life on this planet without problems. Excuse me. We are always going to be confronted with adversity, trials, and tests of all kinds. Welcome to life. It is our attitude about these problems that will determine how successful we are and whether we succeed or fail. Hebrews 10:35-36 says, "So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised." Now, when you first read this verse, it kind of sounds like works, and it's not. Because you have to remember, in the Bible, in this book right here, there are 6,000 plus promises. Each one of them has a condition. It's not like God's saying, "Oh yeah, you got to do works and be good enough for me to bless you." That's not it. The blessings are in the book. He's told you how to get the blessings out of the book. But if you want the blessing that's in the book, you got to do what it says. So it's not by works. It's by your choice to decide, am I going to believe God for this? Am I going to believe God for health? Am I going to believe God for, or am I going to quit? Am I going to give up? Am I going to stop? Don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. What brings you? The promises in this book. They have great reward. It's what the verse says. It's what the Bible says. It is a great reward. And it will bring you that reward, but you have to have patient endurance. And it says here, it is what you need. Why? So that you will continue to do God's will. You'll continue to stay in the Word. You'll continue to believe the promise. And then you'll receive all that He has promised. There is a reward promised to those who will not give up. There's a reward promised to those who will stick it out. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where God's people who quit are rewarded. It's only those who develop staying power. The Message translation translates Hebrews 10:35-36, the verse we just read, like this. So don't throw it all away now. You were sure of yourself then. It's still a sure thing. The Word of God is a sure thing every time. The Word of God never fails. But verse 36 says, but you need to stick it out. Staying with God's plan so you'll be there for the promised completion. The problem with people is you want your life to change. You want something different than what you have right now. And that's a good thing. Whether that's a relationship or it's in finances, it's in business, it's in your family, whatever it is. You want something different than the way it is right now. But you want to pop it in the microwave and take it out in 60 seconds and have what you want. That is not how God works. We have to find the promise in the Word of God, meditate on the promise in the Word of God, and then stick it out till we see the completion, or as the Word of God says, get the reward. And that is what we have to do. You have to come, you've come too far to quit now. Verse 36 says, but you need to stick it out, staying with God's plan, so you'll be there for the promised completion. You come too far to quit. You need to stick it out. You're not a quitter. You are a winner, in Jesus' name. Now, page one, number one of your insert, if you printed it off or you have it handy. When you were born again, it was your spirit man that was recreated. Not your physical man, your spirit man. So let me explain what that means in case somebody doesn't understand that. When Adam sinned, you know, the Bible says God told Adam that if you eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. But he ate of it, and he didn't physically die, but he died spiritually. His spirit man, you are a spirit, you have a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a body. His spirit man was taken and removed from God's presence. So yes, he still has a human spirit, but it was removed from the presence of God. So when you get born again, your spirit man is recreated, and you have that relationship, that direct connection back to God again. However, you probably didn't immediately change the way you think. You didn't instantly become mature in the things of God. It took some time. And we call that the law of progression. So when a baby is born into the world, there's a law of progression at work in that child. And over time, the baby learns to talk and walk and then to grow in all areas of life. This is the law of progression. It's been a long time since I've been around a baby very much, and I'm not around her as much as I'd like to be. But, you know, I had this new granddaughter. And, you know, when she was born, she didn't do anything. And then she did this and she did that. And a few weeks ago, you know, she was here and she just learned to sit up. And then she was trying to crawl, but she was laying and she was scooting backwards. And then she started trying to crawl. And now she crawls everywhere. And now she goes over to the chair and she lifts herself up. That's progression. She couldn't do that the day she was born. It is a process of progression. And that works in our natural world, and that works in the spirit world as well. It is progression. The law of progression works the same way, no matter what. Peter wrote this. In 1 Peter 2:2, he said, you must crave pure spiritual milk. So why? Why are you going to want milk? So you can grow into the fullness of your salvation. We need milk to grow. Why do we need milk to grow? Because it develops us. But if you stay on milk, if all you have as an adult is milk, you got a problem. You got to get past milk. And Paul addressed this. Paul wrote in Hebrews 5:14, solid food is for those who are mature. Yeah, you need milk. You need to be taught and nurtured and developed. But then at some point, you got to get off milk and you got to get on some solid food. So again, my granddaughter, you know, she drank the bottle and she did the stuff for a while. And they started introducing things. And now she sits there and she eats stuff and she's moving to solid food. So that's what we have to do spiritually. Solid food is for those who are mature, who have trained themselves to recognize the difference between right and wrong and do what is right. God wants us to get off the spiritual bottle. In the natural realm, a child doesn't stay on that bottle their entire life. And the same thing applies to you and I spiritually. As we begin to grow in Christ, it is the meat Say meat out there. Say meat. It is the meat of God's word that is going to bring about maturity in our lives. And you will never get to the place in your Christian life where you no longer need God's word. It doesn't happen. You will always need to be transformed into the image of Christ. And as soon as you think you got somewhere and you've got something, then God will bring something else up you need to do, and then something else up you need to do. Life is a challenge. It's meant to be a challenge. Life is meant to be something that is fun and exciting and a challenge for us. Why? Because without a challenge, what are we? We need things to do. You know, we could go, I'm not going to preach on that. We don't have time to talk about what the Bible says about laziness. It is not a good thing. So you need to stay busy. 2 Corinthians 3:18 in the Phillips translation says this, but all of us who are Christians have no veil on our faces. What does that mean? Look, in my professional world, in my professional life, I deal with people all day long. People have walls. They've been hurt. They've been slapped down. Somebody, you know, hurt them. Somebody disappointed them. Some job didn't work out. Some boy didn't work out. Some girl didn't work out. Some this, some that. Life isn't what you expected. So you put up this wall and you put up this wall and you put up this wall and you put up this wall. And nobody really knows what you look like. I can see what you look like on the outside, but nobody really knows what you look like. Because you don't ever let anybody in to see what you look like. And that is not how Christians work. The walls have to come down. The walls have to come down. Well, if the wall comes down, I'm vulnerable to be hurt. Well, welcome to life, people. This is what we deal with. We deal with life. We don't hide life. We don't hide ourselves behind a facade. We get out there on the front line. And we take the word of God and we overcome the obstacles that come up in our life. That is what it's all about. But all of us who are Christians have no veils on our faces, but reflect like mirrors the glory of the Lord. See, I can never see the glory of the Lord coming out of your eyes, out of your being, if you got all these walls up and I can't even see who you are. That gone. We're supposed to not have those anymore. Why not? Because we are transfigured by the Spirit of the Lord in ever-increasing splendor into His own image. Let's look at how the Passion says that. We can all draw close to Him with the veil removed from our faces. You don't have to hide anything. Well, Rocky, I've done this and I've done that and I've done this and I've done that and I've done this and I've done that and I've done that and I've done that. It doesn't matter. Don't you think He knows it anyway? He's God. He knows what you've done. So we can all draw close to Him with the veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are being transfigured into His very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. Again, what's the message about today? Progression. You let me see you. But a year from now, what I see ought to be more brightness in your eyes. Ought to be more glory in your life. So we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transformation comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Paul explained that we're being transformed into the image of God's Son. God's Word acts like a mirror. When we look into the mirror of God's Word, it will reflect an image that God, you know, that it's the image of God and how He sees you. Because you know what? When I open this up and I look in the Word of God and I find something in here that says, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I am blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. Now, is that the image you have of you? Do you see you as the head, not the tail? The blessed of God, above and not beneath. Or do you see yourself barely scraping through life and, you know, if I can just survive another day until I can get to another check on, you know, 2 weeks from now? That's not how God sees you. So we look in this mirror, we drop the veil, we open ourselves up, we let God in, and then this book starts being the reflection of who we are. In other words, God's word imparts into your heart. What it does is it's going to change you into the image of Christ. And it doesn't happen overnight. It is progression. You can't pick up the Bible today and read 5 or 6 verses and expect to be made in the image of God's Son by tomorrow. It is a process. Number 2 in your insert. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If you abide in my what? If you abide in my word. So what would that mean if you don't abide in his word? Well, then you're not his disciple indeed. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, there's some translations that says the truth shall set you free. It's a nuance, but you need to catch it. Okay? If someone sets you free, you are free. And technically, spiritually, once you get born again, you are set free. But again, the law of progression. I mean, God immediately, you get born again, he may set you free from this and this and this. But a more accurate translation is in the New King James, and it says that the truth shall make you free. What's the difference? If I'm going to be made free, that's different than being set free. Set free means I have to do nothing. I'm set free, which is the reality of it in the spirit realm. But now I have to take those realities and bring them into my life. And how do I do it? Through the word of God, which makes me free. I hope I'm explaining this. There's a difference between set free and it'll make you free. It will make you free if you appropriate what the word of God says about your situation. It will make the knowledge, the truth in those verses, once that truth gets in your heart, it will make you free. And so that's a very appropriate word in there, that it will make you free if you abide in his word. So what Jesus was saying was that being made free is a progressive thing. The more of the truth that you learn, the more free you will be. And here's the funny part. You know, I've been doing this a long time. I've been in the Word of Faith message for nearly 40 years. You know, I'm heading real fast towards 61 years old here in a few months. So I'm heading real fast towards 61. I got into the Word of Faith message when I was 21, 22, 23 years old. In that area, I started learning all this. So I've been doing this almost 40 years. And I feel like I'm pretty free. I mean, I don't have a guilt bone in my body. I don't have any regret. I mean, yes, I have regrets in that I wish I'd done things different, but I don't have any regrets that weigh down on me. I am free to have the wisdom of God. I have been able to do things and experience things that I never even could have imagined without the Word of God opening up my mind to what could be possible in life. I have been so blessed. But here's the thing. I think I'm free. But you know what will happen tomorrow? And that may not happen 24 hours, but tomorrow. I mean, but you know what will happen in my tomorrows? God will show me an area that I'm not free in. And we'll work on that. But I don't know I'm not free there. Because I think I am about the freest person I know. But I'm not. I mean, I am as far as I know. Progression. Progression. Say progression. Progression. So God will show you things as you progress. And that's what he's saying. Remember, we don't have the veil. And when we don't have the veil and we're getting into the word, what's happening? Every time God shows us something and makes us free in that area, we show the glory of God more and more and more in our lives. That's the way it works. And so we continue in the Word. We are free from Satan in the spirit realm. We are free from bondage in the spirit realm. And as we continue in the Word of God, we will become freer and freer and freer in the natural realm as well. Number three in your insert. The definition of progression is to move forward or onward. It means development. It means improvement. It means to continue toward completion. If God tells you to do something, then you can't stop until it's completed. If you do stop, then you won't be rewarded. Refuse to back off until whatever God wants for you, God has told you to do, you have accomplished. The law of progression relates to faith, and it relates to our faith walk. Stability in faith comes as a result of standing on God's Word. That's when you're not blown to and fro. It's when you're standing on God's Word and you're secure. That is stability. It comes when you keep on believing even though you're not seeing anything happening. Many have become discouraged and sidetracked and beaten down because after they have prayed and stood in faith and nothing seems to be happening, they fall back. They withdraw and they consider it a bad experience. But something is happening. That there is a law at work, and it's called the law of progression. But you can negate the law by drawing back. You can stop the law of progression in your life. All of nature functions on this law. Jesus said in Mark 4, 26 through 29, the kingdom of God is like. All right, so if Jesus said the kingdom of God is like something, then what does that mean? It means is like this. The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows. He doesn't understand how it happens. The earth produces the crop on its own. First, the leaf blade pushes through, and then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. As soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with the sickle, for the harvest time has come. Look at the progression at work here. Jesus said what? The kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like. The harvest doesn't come all at once. Now, do miracles happen and the harvest comes like that? Yes, but that is not the normal process of how God works. You don't put a seed in the ground and then expect it to become a crop overnight. Jesus mentioned several steps in this passage after the seed is planted. First, the blade has to push through the earth. Second, the head is formed. Third, the grain ripens. Then the fourth, it's time for the harvest. And then fifth, they do the harvest. Jesus said that this is how the kingdom of God operates. Number two on page two. When you begin to make your decision of faith and you begin to say what God's word says about your life, you're like that farmer. You're planting the seed of God's word into the ground or into the soil of your heart. And we know the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So as the abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is speaking, then what are you saying? Are you saying what you just planted? Are you confessing God's word? Are you believing God's word? Or are you allowing weeds to get in there through doubt and unbelief? Once you speak forth the word, it's going to be your responsibility to protect it. Just like this responsibility of the farmer to protect the seed. You don't let weeds grow around it. You don't allow doubt and unbelief to gather around it. Don't let anything destroy that seed before it has an opportunity to take root and grow. You're going to have to stand guard over your seed. You're going to have to stand guard over the word of God in your life. You're going to have to stand guard over your faith. I want you to know that if you let the law of progression work and not negate it, there will come a time when it'll produce results in your life. You're going to see a blade come up. It might take some time, but it's worth waiting for. Stay patient and stay single-minded. And before long, you will see the law of progression is working in your life. Now, I want to reread Mark 24, 26 through 27. We just read it. Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he doesn't understand how it happens. This is important. The farmer has total trust in the seed. He plants it in the ground. He goes to bed. And once the seed is in the ground, it is beyond that farmer's control what happens to it. He doesn't know how it works particularly. Now, today we have science and stuff we do, but you got to go back, you know, a couple of thousand years. He doesn't know how it works. He just know it works. He believes that the seed will do what it's designed to do, and he doesn't get discouraged in the meantime. Now, you have to think. So what did we just read a minute ago? That you plant the seed, the word of God, in your heart. You plant the seeds of God's word inside of you. And you have got to be patient and work and make sure. Yeah, why? Because you trust that the seed you planted, whatever that be, whatever area of the word. So let's say salvation. The word says you confess, you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay, now I'm saved. Do you believe that in your heart? Yes. Will Satan come and try to steal that from you? Yes. Are you going to let that happen? No. Why not? Well, because you believed that seed that you just planted in your heart on salvation did what it was designed to do. Well, every promise in the Bible is like that. Psalms 37:23 says the steps, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. What does that mean? I've heard people say that, you know, the word of faith message and, you know, a lot of times word of faith teachers will teach on all of these steps, you know, 7 steps to this, 4 steps to that. But that's how God works with us. He deals with us in steps. A lot of people are not willing to take steps. A lot of people are they want to ignore steps. A lot of people think they don't need steps. And that's why a lot of Christians are fumbling through life. They disregard God's ordered steps. In the natural mind, it may make sense to you naturally to jump from one point to another instead of taking smaller steps. And you might think, well, you know, I can get there faster, I can have more fun, I can save some time if I jump from here and jump from there and do this and do that. But when we jump, instead of taking steps, when we're jumping around, what could happen? Well, we may get hurt, we may stumble, we may fall, we may get discouraged. And then we ask the stupid Christian question. What's the stupid Christian question? Why did God allow this to happen to me? Well, God didn't allow anything to happen to you. You were trying to be like Abraham, which Pastor David taught on last week, and help God out instead of waiting and taking his ordered steps. And at that point, you're going to be like Abraham again and prolong the manifestation of what you're believing God for. Every step we take gets us closer to the manifestation. And that's what the law of progression is all about. It keeps us moving forward. We gain momentum. We take step after step after step until it happens. The name of the game, folks, is winning. It's not how long it takes or how fast we get there. It's all about winning and living a victorious life. Let God be the navigator of the steps you take in your life. If you'll just be obedient, then you'll end up where God wants you to be. Continue listening to God and don't allow yourself to get sidetracked. Don't be like the children of Israel who wandered around in circles for 40 years. Do you realize that if they had just taken the steps God told them to take, done what God told them to do, that they could have crossed that desert in 40 days instead of 40 years? And many Christians do the exact same thing. They feel strong in the Lord on Sunday, but by the middle of the week, you know, they're making these statements. Well, you know, this faith stuff doesn't work. You have to be single-minded in order for the law of progression to work for you. All right, we talked about the farmer. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who sows seed. So what if I go out there today and I plant my seed? I wake up in the morning, there's no wheat in that field. Well, that didn't work. So I go plow the field, I plant my seed. I wake up in the morning. Oh, that didn't work. I go plow the field and I plant my seed. Is that how a farmer works? Of course not. But we want to do that. We want to plant the Word of God. We want to take a promise from the Word of God. We want to take a relationship and develop it by tomorrow. Or next week or next month or next year. Well, God may have ordained that relationship, but it may not amount to anything for 10 years. Well, that's too long to wait. Well, then leave the promise. Go plow your field again and plant the seeds. And never receive a crop. Well, you know, I've been working on my profession now for 3 years, and I haven't got as many raises or as many promotions as I planned. I better just chunk this and go do something else. Well, if God put a desire inside of you to go do that, then you need to be faithful to that, but you need to also make sure that you have your confession working for you and not against you in that. Because if you're saying it didn't work, it didn't work, it didn't work, well, guess what? It's not going to get any better. God can't work with that. You got to take care of that seed. Father, I thank you that you planted me here. This was the desire of my heart, still is the desire of my heart. This is what I want. This is where I am. And I would like it to move faster, but Lord God, I understand you're a God of progress, and you're a God of just taking it step by step. And I have faith and confidence in you that you will get me where I need to be when I'm supposed to be there. I will not get discouraged. I will not let go. I will not give in. But that's not what we want to do. We want our microwave. We'll pop that popcorn in a minute. You have to be single-minded in order for the law of progression to work for you. You can't be looking for an excuse to give up. James said in James 1, 2 through 4, "My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have her perfect work." Let patience have her perfect work. Say perfect work. "That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." That you may be. So when you let patience have her perfect work, you will be perfected, you'll be complete, and you will lack nothing. James told us to be patient so that patience could have her perfect work. Patience works hand in hand with the law of progression. When you're standing on the authority of God's word, let's just get real. There are opportunities for you to cast your faith aside. There are opportunities for you to draw back. There's opportunities for you just to give up. But you have to remain patient. You start out by confessing God's word. You believe, you receive it, you act on the word. You continually feed your spirit. You remain constant. You add patience to your faith. And the Bible says that if you let patience have her perfect work, you will want for nothing. You will want for nothing. As we discussed 2 weeks ago, most people think patience means to just put up with something, whatever it may be, and hope to God that one day, it'll get better. And that's wrong. That is not patience. Patience in God's kingdom means consistency. Again, back to James. James 1, 5 through 8 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to him." You know, we don't want to go ask God about even the small things. God's never going to judge you. You go ask, he'll give it to you. But like every promise in the Word of God, there's a but. There's a contingency. There's something you have to do. But when you ask, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. If you go to God and you ask for wisdom about something, don't you ever let come out of your mouth again, "I don't know what to do." Why not? Well, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Believe what? Believe he planted inside of you the wisdom to know what to do. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Why? Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Verse 7. That man, now this is harsh. I mean, this is harsh. James is, you know, James grew up with Jesus. Jesus's was James' big brother. They're half brothers. Same mama, different daddies. And so James, you know, he's getting harsh right here. He says, because if you go to God and you ask for wisdom, he'll give it to you. But you can't doubt in your heart. You can't be that person that lets, you know, your emotions take you here and take you there. Verse 7, that man should not think he'll receive anything from the Lord. Anything is a big word. Verse 8, he is double-minded. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does. And you can't be fickle about this. You got to get on with it. You got to get on with the Word of God. You got to do what the Word of God tells you to do. You can't be fickle about it. James was hard. I mean, some people think I'm hard. James is hard. I mean, he's just telling you right out. You ask God for wisdom, well, you better take it. You better believe it. You better not be going back asking him for it. You better not be waving about it. You better not do that. Don't be tossed. Don't be confused. Don't let that stuff come out of your mouth. Because that man should think he will not receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded and he's unstable in all that he does. Man, that is tough. Number 3, when I'm believing God for something, many times it seems like nothing is happening. Anybody ever been there but me? You know, you pray and you pray and you believe God and you stand on the Word and there's nothing. I mean, there is nothing. And it's like, okay, you know, I really, God, I mean, it's either something you felt like God told you to do, or it's something in your life, you went to the Word of God and you found a promise on it and you're standing on that promise. And it's like nothing is happening. I haven't told this story in a long time. But it's a great story, and so I'm going to tell it again. And many of you have heard it many times, I know, but you'll hear it again. In China, there's a plant called China. It's a Chinese bamboo. It's a China Moso plant. And when the farmers of that plant plant that plant, remember we just talked about what is the kingdom of God like? It's like a farmer who sows seed. So they plant the plant. They come out tomorrow and there's nothing. They come out a month later, there's nothing. They come out 6 months later, they come out a year later, there's nothing. 2 years later, there's nothing. 3 years later, there's nothing. 4 years later, there's nothing. 5 years later, 6 years later, there's nothing. So how many of you are going to stay positive? You've been believing for this, believing for that, believing for that. You've planted your seed. You've done what you think God tells you to do. And you're 6 years into it and nothing. Nothing's happened. Nothing that you can see. When you plant the Word of God, it's like a seed. It'll develop roots. It'll develop what it needs. It'll do what it has to do. But you can't abandon it. So what after, you know, 4, 5, 6 years, that farmer gets discouraged and walks away? Somebody else is going to reap their harvest. Because at year 7, that thing will break out of the ground. And now I'm thinking, I don't remember the exact height. It's either, it's 60, 70, 80, 90 feet. And anyway, in about 60 days, it grows about 90 feet tall. Now, how can that happen? They say you can almost see it growing. How can that happen? Well, because for all of those years, it has been developing a root system that will support that kind of growth. So if you've got a business and you've been, you feel like you're struggling, you're surviving, but it's just surviving. But I know God told me to do this. And yes, I've been doing, and yes, God's providing my needs, but I just felt like when I got into this, it's going to just explode. The law of progression. You don't know what kind of root system God's building underneath you and that business. You have no idea. Your responsibility is to stay positive and protect the seed. And you don't know, after a few years, that thing may take off and explode and be more than you ever imagined it could be. That is the whole point. The law of progression. You can't get discouraged when it doesn't look like what you thought it should look like. You can't become double-minded, because if you do, you will lose the blessing. If I will stay in faith, I will get the blessing. I may not know how it's going to happen. All I know is that it worked. The law of progression worked. And while I was standing on the authority of God's word, while I was taking one step at a time, while I was being patient or consistent and single-minded, while I was doing exactly what God told me to do, I was getting closer and closer to my manifestation. And once you start moving out into your faith endeavor, you owe it to yourself to let the law of progression work for you until you move right into its completion. Galatians 6, 7 and 9, 7 through 9. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You'll always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So when you go into this book and you find one of those promises, and you quit chasing things in your own natural flesh, and you start chasing the things that God says are yours, what does it say? Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest, and part of that sinful nature is pride. You know, those of that you know, it's all pride, will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit, how do you please the Spirit? By doing what the Word of God says, will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Verse 9. So let's not get tired and doing what is good. What's good? The Word of God. At just the right time, you will reap a harvest. At just the right time, you will reap a harvest, a blessing, if, say if, if we don't give up. Man, God presents us with a condition in these verses. If we don't lose heart and give up, we reap. If we lose heart and give up, we don't reap. One of the major enemies of progression is weariness. And I know this one very well. Losing heart and giving up stops progression. And some people, they get tired of confessing the word. Some people get tired of acting on the word. Some people get tired of giving. Some people get tired of praying. Some people get tired of believing. Why? Because it looks like their confession is not bringing possession. And they go to the next logical thing in the natural. They get discouraged. They get weary. They do not know what to do. And so they stop the wheels of progression. But 2 Corinthians 4:18 reminds us of this. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You got to lock onto those things you cannot see and just drive, drive, drive. 2 Corinthians 5:17, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And don't take all this to say, oh man, it sounds like so much work. That's the whole point. Yes, it's work, but it's also peace. You have to do the step. You have to do what the Word of God says to do. You have to do what Jesus said. The kingdom of God is like a farmer who plants and he waits. And then he knows that it's going to come up and then it's going to grow and then it's going to develop and he's going to harvest. And we know that. But when we're out there trying to do it on our own, it's stressful. I mean, life has, you know, some amount of stress in it, I guess. But we just compile stress. But if we'll just do what God says to do, the work will get taken care of, the things will get taken care of, the people will get taken care of, the business will get taken care of. We walk by faith, not by sight. We relax a little bit. I don't say get lazy. I say relax a little bit and have peace. And don't let anxiety just chew you up and spit you out. So I read 2 Corinthians 5:17, for we walk by faith and not by sight. The Message says it this way. It's what we trust in but don't yet see that keeps us going. And I have to be honest, that is exactly what keeps me going. You know, there's no way I could do what I do in life if there wasn't a goal, if there wasn't something. It's what we trust in but don't yet see that keeps us going. I got so many irons in the fire, so many things out there I wanted, so many things I'm doing and so many things I want to do that are out there, but I can't see them. I want them. I can taste them. I'm believing for them, but they haven't manifested yet. That's what keeps me going. That's what pushes me and drives me. We need to develop our staying power. We need to get tough. We need to get some backbone. We need to learn how to put our hand to the plow and not look back. We need to make up our minds that if anybody is going to quit or anybody's going to give up, it's going to be the devil and not us. You need to fully expect to see God put you over. Number four in your insert. You need to fully believe that God is going to bring it together for you. Make up your mind that this is your time of restoration. This is your time of harvest. This is your time of reaping. This is your time to be totally free. God gets excited and takes pleasure in us winning. Why would any man or woman give up or draw back when they are progressing? It doesn't make any sense to me. It can only be because they get discouraged, they become weary, they lose heart, they give up. Remember, if we do not lose heart and give up, we will reap. Not we may reap, we will. We need to keep our faith up against the mountain until the mountain is removed. That is progression. And you may be in an impossible looking situation, and perhaps you're in a transition period. You need a job, you need a healing, you need unity in your family, you need a financial breakthrough. You've been standing on the authority of God's word, believing God to order your steps. And it seems like that every step you've taken, the result has just been a closed door. Well, I want to remind you of something that happened to Jesus in his ministry in Mark chapter 2. We read how he's preaching in a house in Capernaum. And the place is packed. No more people can get in. And some men, they're carrying their friend on a mat to get them to Jesus so that Jesus can heal him. But there's no way for them to get to him. The house is full. And the door is closed, if you will. It's like God takes you somewhere and gives you the desire to do something. But you walk up to it, and we have this thing inside of us that says, God told me to come here, so I guess the doors will just open wide. Well, that's not what happened. The doors were closed. The enemy was saying, Jesus is not going to perform this miracle today. He's causing me enough trouble. He doesn't need to do it again. He's not going to raise this guy up from the palsy or being completely paralyzed. He's not going to do that. So it's full. They can't get in. It's all good. Doors are closed. They'll give up. They'll go home. And Jesus won't have this testimony anyway. One translation says that they sought means to get to Jesus. And that implies that when every door is shut, they just kept moving forward anyway. They did not give up. In the natural, it seemed that there was no way to get this man with the palsy completely in bed into the physical presence of Jesus. But these guys just kept on seeking a means to do so. And finally, we know the story. They tore the roof off the house and they lowered him right down in front of Jesus. And when they appeared to be no way, there was a way. Listen very carefully to this next sentence. Don't ever settle for no if you believe God has told you to do something. I'll say that again. Don't ever settle for no if you believe God has told you to do something. What I'm telling you is don't you get weary. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Don't compromise. Let the law of progression work in your situation and do not wimp out, and you will see the word of God come to to completion in your life. And I close with this. As I've told you every week during this series, this is your time. There's a winner inside of you. Let that winner arise. Let that champion arise. Let that conqueror arise. It's time for us to stand and be counted. It's time to be the men and women of God and let the wonderful light of Jesus shine through us by taking the veils off, tearing the walls down, and being children of God. It's time to let the power of God work through you. It's time to lay some hands on some sick folks and see them get healed. It's time we understand that we have been called to battle. We've been predestined to win. It's time to let the believer inside of you out. Yeah, some of you missed that one. It's time to let the believer inside of you out. What do I mean by that? Jessica, can you go back to the very beginning and put up Jeremiah 29:11 again? Some of you, you're going to heaven, but you still got your walls. You still got the things in front of you. You haven't taken down those veils. Until that's down, the glory of God cannot show back out of you. Until the glory of God can show back out of you, then how can God manifest himself and bless you? And God says again in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you. They are plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." There's a believer. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's a believer inside of you. It's time to let the believer loose on the world. It's time to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's time to allow the anointing of God to flow out of you. It's time to be vulnerable and let the walls down. It's time to let the veil of God show through and use the Word of God to be that mirror that just pushes back against the world by the glory of God. There's a believer inside of you. And it's time to let the believer out. It's time to get in church, people. It's time to get into the Word of God. It's time to read your Bible. It's time to quit playing like you're a Christian. I'm not saying you're not a Christian and meaning you're not born again. But there's a difference between just being born again. That technically makes you a Christian. You're going to heaven. But that's not all God wants for you. I mean, look at all the verses we've read today and all the things we talked about in this series. God has things for you to do. That believer is inside of you. And you may still be, you know, you may have been born again 10 years and you're still sucking on that milk a little bit at a time just trying to survive. Stop it. Let's get past the milk. Let's go on to the meat. Let's go have some steak, potatoes, and chow down on the Word of God and go out and manifest who you are as a believer. But for any of that to apply, anything I said today to apply, you've got to be born again. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord, that's the first step. And yeah, you're going to be on milk for a while. But we'll get you moved to solid food as quick as we can. Because you need to be out there making a difference in the world. So let's all say this prayer together. We can. So if you want to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or you just want to rededicate your heart to him today and said, "I'm tired of playing church. I'm tired of, you know, being a baby Christian for so many years. I want to grow up." Let's just rededicate ourselves to him. Let's get born again if you're not. It's a simple process. Let's just say this prayer together. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you today and I accept what Jesus did on Calvary. Father, I thank you for sending your Son to die for me, to pay the price for me, so that I could be restored back to you. And Jesus, I accept what you did for me on Calvary's cross, the pain you suffered, the sin you took so that I could be made free and become a child of your Father. I receive it. I accept it. You are my Lord and my Savior. It's in your name I pray. Amen. It can't be that simple. It is that simple. It's a heart thing. So if you said that with your mouth, what the Bible says, you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you are born again. Now the progression, the law of progression starts. Get to church. Get in the Word. Find books that the right kind of books, that will help you grow in the Lord. Become the man and the woman God intends for you to be. Let's let the believer inside of us out and let that believer just take on the world, because we've already overcome the world because our Savior overcame the world. We are blessed. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the opportunity to minister your word this morning. I thank you that your word brings power and authority into our lives. I'm just grateful and thankful that we have the word of God, that we have the ability to take that word and put it inside of us and put it to work. Man, what you've done for us is so crazy. It's incredible. I pray we would not be ignorant or ignore it, but that we would be hungry for it. In Jesus' name. And may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Angels of God, I dispatch you into this next week to go for and prepare a way. Open doors, close doors, arrange things, align with our faith, and cause, just move things out of our way. Watch over us and protect us. Be blessed, child of God. Have a great and wonderful week in Jesus' name. And I would expect us to be back in church next Sunday. I don't see any reason why that won't happen unless, as I said, when the restoration people come in, they find too much moisture in the walls and we have to tear out all the walls and stuff. So I don't know that at this point. But right now, we will keep you posted on the Band app and on Facebook, on Instagram, and every way we can. But at this point, I am planning on having service here next Sunday. So until then, God bless you and have a great week. In Jesus' name, amen.